Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
But I want to start in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, there are Bibles under some of the chairs. And if you don't own a Bible, take one of those. It's holy stealing. We totally anticipate that. So, in verse 11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Loaded, full section of scripture to read to you. And if you have to, note it and reread it again. But to go through this and to look at this and the instruction that we are getting as the body of Christ, us as the church, as the body of Christ. That is who we are. That is who we're called to be and what we are called to do within that and looking at that. This is to go against the culture of society nowadays of consumerism, but to understand that the church is not something that you were meant to just show up and consume and then leave. This was meant to be something that you contributed to. Because, yes, you can come here and you can hear the Word of God, experience worship, be encouraged, and leave. But when it talks about building up the body of Christ, it doesn't, in that whole description there, it doesn't just say that you are to be fed. No, it says when each ligament does its work. Does its work. When we go back to, in the Old Testament, to Nehemiah chapter 3, it talks about building the wall. There's a wall that is being built. No one person built the wall. Each person had a section of the wall, and the wall was built. You are not called to do everything. You are called to do your part. That is what you are to do. And we, as the body of Christ, if we truly want this to be built up and we want to see the church flourish and see the church grow and an impact on this world, then we are to each do our own part. We are called to do this, and it lays it out very clear. And understanding that when this happens and when we do this, then the schemes of man, the cunningness of man, doesn't always win, doesn't lead people astray. Because when the church falls flat, when the church is not the church, when the church is not being the body of Christ, when the parts are not working together, the church falters. And when a church falters, especially a church that's preaching the gospel, the trueness of the gospel, and doing these things, when the church falters and things and people are not doing their part, people will be led astray. When we are not acting the way Christians are to act, and I'm not just talking about the whole dress up nice and be all pious and mighty. I'm talking about doing the work. Because it's work to do this. This message is not about salvation today. This is about post-salvation Christians. To be born again is salvation. But it goes on to say that we will not be infants being tossed left and right. I mean, think about it. You have a kid, whatever that kid, environment, that child, that baby gets raised in, they're going to think that way. They're going to be that way. And from the moment of salvation, when we experience that, it's very similar. We can be manipulated. We can be taught the wrong things and led astray. I mean, I'm not going to go through all of church history, but look back in the day when the Bible couldn't be read by the poor people, the underlings. It was the pious high and mighty that had to tell you what it said. And what it said is, you got to buy your way into heaven. Give me your money. And then, you know, MVP Martin Luther came along and kind of changed the game for us. And so, but really, you see, when the church falters and it's not built upon God's word and how it says we are to structure the way we are supposed to do things, people will be led astray. There are certain things within the church, practically speaking, that have been man-made. Okay? Coffee time was a man idea. Acts in the early church, it doesn't necessarily say have coffee time. It doesn't. Early church, they didn't have electric guitars. They didn't have this stuff. And I'm pretty sure, who knows, there's probably, at the point where electric guitars got introduced in church history, there was probably a schism of four new fellowships that opened up after that, or denominations, let's be honest. Ridiculous! Anyway, but really, there's certain things that are man-made over time that they utilized, that they created, looking at God's word and the way structure and things were to be, looking at church history and making a practical solution. I get the question a lot about being a member at the church. And no, a member isn't just somebody in attendance. Membership, we have our membership class where you go over and you learn the history of the Assemblies of God and some of the things we believe, so you can actually know whether or not you align with those things. And then after that, you have a meeting with some deacons and the pastors, and they just talk about some things. And then there's an approval process of being an actual member. So then when we have our annual business meeting at the February, whenever it is usually, you can come in, sit in that, and you can vote and voice your opinions and things. All of that, yes, there's probably some scriptural backing on why some of these things were chosen and how they were chosen and why we do what we do. But overall, that was kind of a man-made construct. Well, then why do we do this? This sounds like politics. This sounds like silly things. Well, it's because there needs to be checks and balances so we don't have repeated offenses like we did when the Bible could only be read by the pastor or priest. Checks and balances. Boss man, pastor, he doesn't solo decisions. He answers to the board of deacons. But the board of deacons also falls under his leadership. And why am I telling you this? Because I'm telling you that there are certain things over time that have changed and been developed for the benefit of the body of Christ. And in case you didn't know how it worked, now you do. Because I've had people ask me, like, where does the tithe go? What does that do? How do these things work? This is not a message on tithing, okay? But that's why at the annual business meeting, for weeks beforehand, not just for members, for everybody, there's a whole packet that shows you all of the finances. Open book. And in the meeting, there's a report on it, and we talk about it, and what we gave, and what the year-end balance looks like, and all these different things. And I'm using this as an example to show you that there are certain things that are man-made, but it was decided with prayer and looking at God's word and how he said things are to be constructed. Because the church operates to serve you. Pastors, my job is to serve you. That is my job. That is what I am to do. That is why it's on call 24/7. A pastor is here for you when you need it. But understand, Scripture doesn't say that it falls just on these people, but that each person that is part of the church has a role to serve. And if we want to see the church body function properly and last, have longevity beyond whoever the pastor is, beyond whoever comes in the leadership and the board of deacons or anything like that, whether we decide to have pews or chairs, To have longevity to survive these things is about how the church is operating and being. And I'm not just talking in the legalistic sense. I'm talking to you to serve, to be available in your church and do what the word calls you to do. You were not called to just show up to church and leave and get your fill so that you can make it into heaven someday. That is a first world consumerism mindset. But instead, understanding that we are called, that last verse, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And this isn't a message just because we're low on volunteers, or even if we are, I don't know, half the time. Just walk around and do what needs to be done. Because like I said, it's my job. But really, to serve, to operate in your giftings. In Romans 12, this might be familiar to some of you. Verse 4, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Understanding this, understanding the great and many gifts that are represented in this room. My dad used to tell me when I was young, to the point now when I am older and I see people doing this, it sends me through the roof. I have to like really pray for self-control because it drives me insane. He said, one of the worst things in the world is wasted talent. If you have a gifting, if you have a talent for something and you don't use it, you don't operate in it, it's a waste. And my dad told me that from when I was little. So now I'm an old man. Hey, I've been feeling it. I get home at like 9 and I'm like, yeah, wow, it's late. Yeah. You know, as it says, like a body has many members, and if one of them isn't functioning correctly, well, I've been noticing a lot are not functioning the way they should. I don't know what happened. But really, when we look at this and understand the worst thing in the world, wasted talent, one of the worst things in the world is wasted talent, I'm going to be honest with you in a loving manner. I promise this is in love. You are wasting yourself. A whole bunch of you in here. Because I've gotten to know some of you very personally. I've gotten to know some of you in passing. I've gotten to know some of you as friends and otherwise. And some of you have so many gifts and so many things that you're good at, and you just come in on a Sunday and leave on a Sunday as soon as you can, and you don't offer up anything to the church. And I'm not saying this as some leader of the church. I'm not saying this as in the church is failing. I'm not talking about the church building or nonprofit 5091 stay BC nonprofit baloney government stuff. I'm talking about the body of Christ, church. I'm talking about you are offering nothing up. You sit there and you waste your talent, and it's horrendous. Somebody needs you. Somebody needs your testimony. Somebody needs your word of encouragement. Somebody needs you to prophesy. Somebody needs you to serve them that cup of coffee with a smile on your face. Somebody needs you to greet them at the door. Somebody needs you to teach them something, disciple them something. Trust me, there is not much red tape to do any of these things. You are wasting your talent. your giftings. And we will see it in the functioning of the body of Christ, not just the body of New Life Assembly of God. In the body of Christ, we will see it, why so many could be led astray and so many can fall off or convert back to whatever it was or just lose the faith, deconstruct, whatever the word is, all these things. We have a responsibility in this. Not just the pastor, not just the worship team. Well, maybe more people would show up to church if they played better songs or if they did this or did that. Oh, be quiet. I'm going to be nice. You know why? Because I'm here early and I'm here at other times when these people that serve up here, not paid, put in the time and the practice, pray and fast for the 40 minutes they play songs, and you're going to complain about something that they sing or do, then you're missing it, pal. It's about God. It's about the Holy Spirit showing up. And he's not going to not show up because the song they preach. He's going to not show up because you're not doing it. You're not pursuing. The worship, we're not dependent upon this position up here for the Holy Spirit to show up. The Holy Spirit is present and inhabits the praises of God's people. That is you. If you want worship to be worship, then start to worship. I don't know. Don't show up to a gym and stare at the jacked guy and say, why am I not getting jacked? He's lifting weights. Why am I not getting benefits? You got to put your faith into action. Like I said, this has nothing to do with salvation. Nothing to do with salvation. I'm not saying you're going to hell because of any of this. I'm talking about what comes after salvation. And what comes after salvation is talked about in a section that is faith and works. That when we are saved, that is faith put in him, nothing we could do, what he did for us, I believe. But if that faith is real, then everything else changes around you. So have you changed? Judge yourself by your own fruit, my friend. Understand what we're doing here. It is not just for you to be glorified and God to just, oh, it's just for you, Joe. It's just for you. Show up and just get what you want, man, and then leave and forget everybody else. We're called to be like Jesus, and in Mark it tells us Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. You are not above Jesus, my friend. None of us are. And if we are to be more like him, we are to serve. We are to contribute to this. Quit whining. Quit complaining. My goodness gracious. I floated an idea to Boss Man once. I said, we should put out this thing where people can put their complaints or ideas to contribute so we can, you know. And it was about yay big. It was black and kind of square, rectangular, and it had a plastic bag inside of it. And then I said, and then Dennis, our facility manager, can take it, tie it up, and take it to the dumpster when they're done. And it's not that we're above accountability. It's not that, that is not what I'm saying. I'm not above accountability. Years and years and years and years and years ago, I preached a message when I wasn't quite so refined, and I'm not refined still. I'm working on it, if you couldn't tell, okay? But I got a 6-page email after I preached once, deconstructing how awful it was and how bad it was and how they offered to teach me how to preach better. And I remember it went to Boss Man, and he said, I'm just sharing this with you because we got it, and I want you to know and what we do with this. And he gave it to me, and unbeknownst to him, I screenshotted all of it, and for a week, I just read it. By the end of the week, I typed up the resignation letter. I did. I was like, man, I'm bad. I'll say it like that. I'm bad. This is not good. I might need to find something else. some people that need help pouring concrete. Sure, whatever. I don't know. Find something else. And I remember I went to my boss, aka my dad, with the resignation letter. He said, "Is this about this email?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm bad at this. I don't know if you could tell. You're my dad. You might be blind to some things. I'm bad at this." And he said, "Listen, I'm not accepting this." And he threw it away. And he said, "You shouldn't be reading this or keeping this. Delete all of the screenshots you took." And he referenced an Old Testament scripture where a godly man walking along the road, and he was with his boys, and up in the cliff, there was insults being hurled at him. Insults and terrible things being shouted at him. And this godly man, one of his boys said, "Hey, you want me to go up there and kill that guy?" That's the kind of guys you roll with, by the way. Okay. But he says, and he's like, no. "How do I not know that God sent him to tell me these things? Just leave it be." My dad told me that, and he said, "You know, you read it, you'll know what's true and what's not, and then you throw it away, and you get better. And you get better, and you learn." And I tell you that to show you that we're not above accountability. That's not what I'm saying or preaching or sharing. What I'm talking about is the body of Christ operating the way that it was intended. And we need to get out of, and we've been gentle for a while, but at a certain point, when the house of God becomes filled with something that it's not supposed to, then sometimes tables need to be tossed. And I'm not saying that's what I'm doing. I'm saying you need to look at your life and what you're doing and what tables in your life need to be tossed and ran out, driven out. This is not something for the weak and faint of heart that, well, let me just very peacefully sit and just meditate and hopefully. No, sometimes, you know, there's a time for war. And when there are things present in your life that are sinful and deterring and detracting from what you're supposed to do and keeping you from serving, your selfishness, your bitterness, oh my word, would you just forgive them already? Quit sitting in your bitterness and victimhood. You're full of it. You cannot choose to serve that and serve God. Let me tell you the truth. If you believe in God and the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, you do not sit in victimhood. You don't. Do whatever you need to do, whether you want to choose therapy and all these different things. I'm not negating any of that. But you get yourself out of it as soon as you can. All of that is going to keep you from doing what God has called you to do. He didn't die to make you a victim. He died to make you conquerors and co-heirs with Christ. That is somebody who comes in riding with a sword, right? That's a champion. That is somebody who slays giants. Man, some of the men in this room, let's be honest, you might have been fading while I've been preaching because you're imagining the scenario that every single one of us does. The men in this room, what if somebody came in and was meaning harm to us? What would I do right now? That door there, they come in that door, what would I do? I got to be honest, I've thought about this while I'm preaching before, okay? It's something that guys just think about sometimes. You fantasize, what happens when... Brendan's laughing, he knows. We've had this conversation 100 times. Also, wrestling bears. We've talked about that 100 times. But, like, all these different things. Like, you think about that sometimes. And if that happens, somebody came in and meant harm. I'm not going to be direct. This is on YouTube. I don't know how much trouble I'd get in for saying things directly. But you get the point, okay? Pew, pew, all right? Something like that happens. Something like that happens, and we imagine, what would we do? Lay down our life on the line. Bravo, man. Can you defeat lust in your life? You're willing to fight the intruder that comes into God's practical, physical, tangible home and means harm. What about the spiritual things that come into your home or this house that you need to deal with as a man of God? You're the leader. You're the headship. It is your job. And quit whining. Just because I say a man is the headship of something and you want to say, well, women are equal too. And nah, da, da. Be quiet. Be quiet. And no, I'm not referencing the place where it says women are to be quiet in church. All right? That's not what I'm saying. Enough of this misogynist baloney stuff. No, we were created different. Yes, equally important, absolutely, but different. You have a role and I have a role. And if we're not operating in these roles and somebody tries to come in and make up for that person not doing what they're supposed to do, guess what? It's broken. I remember basketball tournament way back in the day. I rolled my ankle horrendously. But you know what you do when that happens? Coach takes a timeout. You go over there. You untie your shoe. You tie it tighter and then lace up and go back out there. Why? Because then the swelling can not take over until you're done. That's the point. You lace it as tight as you can. Who cares if you could feel it? You just lace it up tight and get back out there. So I was doing that, but I had a little bit of a limp. And it was an all-day tournament, and I had a couple games left. Played through the couple games. Well, then the next day, guess what? My back and my knee hurt like crazy. Why? Because of the limp. When you limp, it puts extra strain on other parts of your body and can cause pain and trouble in those parts of your body. So when the body of Christ, somebody is not doing what they are supposed to be doing and other people are trying to make up for it, it is going to cause pain. It is going to cause discomfort. It might even cause brokenness. In a very practical sense, I've seen some of you, and bravo to you. Oh my word, bravo to you. You will greet, serve coffee time, kids ministry, and then when Wednesdays are back, you'll be looking to do something there. And you're doing it because you love the Lord and you want to serve and you want to benefit these things. Also because different leadership asks you to serve in a position. Some people on tech team, and then all of a sudden they're also on the RT team, and then they're also volunteering in kids ministry, and they never get to sit in a Sunday service. They watch it the next day because some of you just show up, sit here, leave. They're hurting. They're limping along because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Again, this is not just so every single one of you volunteers, although that would be great, because then guess what? Almost nobody would really miss Sundays, man. We'd just be on rotation. Like, what in the world? Like, we have Wednesday night worship and prayer nights during, kind of, it falls along with the school year. We recess for the summer. But we have, like, the family nights where we've done this. Family nights, young family worship night, and join in this group. And so there's kids in here. There's kids in here running around doing stuff. Families, yes, keep track of your kids. No, we don't promote leashing them, okay? But keep track of your kids. Kids are going to be kids. They're running around. They're doing things, okay? To hear that somebody complained about kids running around, where's the garbage can? Kids running up at this altar while we're worshiping, who cares? I'm sorry. If that bothers you, if that makes you upset, it's taking away from your time, and it's ruining my focus, then face the wall. You can worship wherever in this room. There used to be days, I don't know, a lot of you might not remember, this altar used to be packed from here to here. There used to be flags. There used to be streamers. There used to be dancing and jumping and shouting, and that's why we replaced the chandeliers. The rumors are true. We're swinging from them. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. It's a rumor about the Pentecostals, but, you know, hey. That's why we made higher ceilings, so we avoided that problem. Anyway, I'm just kidding. But really, the church is not a place for you to just come and get your fix and leave. Why are you so selfish? You're missing the point. If you show up to church and you have a selfish mindset, that is one of the weirdest things. Let's not normalize that behavior, please. Church is for the broken. It's for the people in need. And there are some parents that are coming here that they just want, they want to hear God. They want to hear his voice. And they got to have their kids with them. So what? So what? What does that do for you? You're here to focus on God, not focus on everything around you. And maybe let the Holy Spirit convict you, and I promise it's not just me saying this. Maybe you should volunteer. Do you want me to hold your baby? You want me to hold your baby? Oh, maybe we need more volunteers in the kids' ministry so that parents can drop their kids off and it can be a more functional place. And that way parents don't have to bring their kids in here. But even if they bring their kids in here, who cares? I'm here for God. And you know the funny thing is? The super funny thing, there's always this argument about the original church. It was never this big, giant group of people. It was like these house meetings. It was these little things. And people want to say, we've gotten from that and all this different stuff. Okay, yeah, that was my example earlier of some things were man-made to produce and to make things function a little bit better while still trying to adhere to what God taught. I've heard this argument for tithing, right? Tithing is an Old Testament law in Scripture, and in the New Testament, there's nothing really directly linked to that, and we don't have to tithe to our church. We can tithe wherever we want. We could do all of these things. According to God's Word, okay, let's go down that line. According to God's Word, Old Testament, tithe 10%. Okay. Well, according to the New Testament and the way that the church was set up, if we're going to obey God's Word and you're looking for a New Testament, New Covenant law, the law was that you all give your money to me, and I decide where it goes. Okay, you want to function like that? Let's do it. You want to be so godly, right? Use Scripture to argue why I can live comfortably in my selfishness. Got quiet, huh? Well, that's what the New Testament church was built on. Give all your money to the leaders of the church, and they will decide where it goes. To help out the poor and the needy and the widows and all of these different things. So do you want to do that? Don't have to answer. Because I got to be honest, I don't want that. I don't want that responsibility. I do not want that responsibility. It's interesting. Because see, contributing and tithing to the church, it's so that way you can be served. I don't know if you know this. It does cost money to do these things. And again, this is not some big message about give us money. I'm just explaining to you the functionality of it so you can understand. And all the smoke and mirrors can be cleared out of the way. You tithe through the church. The church then puts on events, builds a community, does all of these things so that way we can serve you. Why I'm 24/7 on call for you. Why we have young family events, young couples events, men's events. We have a youth ministry. We have all sorts of different things going on because of that. And it does. In this day and age, takes money. And so that's what you're tithing to. So when you call someplace your home church, but, oh, I can tithe wherever I want. Fine. But the body of Christ then is not going to be able to function the way that it should be able to function in its entirety. And somebody else is going to be limping along. I'll tell you what, some of the volunteers we have in youth ministry, in kids ministry, and all these other things, I have seen them. Our own ministry, CCM, College and Career Ministry, Pastor Isaac used to head it up, and then since he's been gone, we had Ben McPherson, and now he left, and it's been kind of being picked up and held up by some people. But Alex Valdivia, who was up here, and he sang a worship song. He sang a worship song, and he led, and he does so much. He leads youth worship. He helps out with CCM and does their worship, and he helps out on Sunday worship. And he commits so much of his time, and he's not a paid employee here at all. But with CCM, they always get snacks and certain things like that. And we've had people provide snacks, and they turn in the receipts to get reimbursed because it's a church event. Well, my mom told Alex, hey, you bought this stuff, like, hey, where's your receipts? And he said, no. Let me do this. No. I'm not returning anything in. Let me do this. And of his own money and of his own time and all these different things that he's committed to do, he's buying the snacks for all these college-age kids. He's doing this. And I shout him out because, one, he deserves it. Give glory where glory is due, according to God's word. But, and there's so many other volunteers that put their own time, effort, and money into things. And it's not that the church is hurting for money. To be honest, above my pay grade, I don't pay attention to that. All right? At the end of the year, I look through the handbook like the rest of you, and I go, I don't know what it means. Okay. Just what it is, all right? Josh, you do an amazing job. It is not a detraction from who you are, let's be honest. It's because I graduated from Sparta High School. Okay, but no, I'm joking. Well, we all know there's a generational thing going on these days, so it might have been good then. No, I'm messing around. I took every business, accounting, and marketing class I could, so I don't know what happened. Okay, but really, I see people, and they're putting, it's not the church is hurting for money or any of that stuff, but they're putting their own time and money onto this. And I don't know what their bank account looks like. I don't know what they do. I don't know any of that. The people that just decide, I'm going to give, and it's to give and not to get back. But could you imagine being a part of a church body where people are doing that and they're hurting financially and it's because the church can't do it and it's because you decided that, well, my tithe can go wherever I want, but I'm going to keep here and sit here and keep soaking up everything I can without contributing anything. Imagine people living in your house, eating your food, dirtying up the place, doing everything they can in that place. There's some dads in here that are like, Just doing everything. They don't contribute financially. They don't clean nothing. They don't clean up after themselves. They leave it all a mess. The vehicle they drive that is yours comes back empty. All of the things, man. And then, hey, can I have $20? I'm going to the fair. What? Get a job. But, Dad, you're 32 living in my basement. You can get a job. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, I was living in my parents. We don't need to get into it. Anyway, think about what that's like. Now, think about it in the context of the church. This message is not coming from a place of a pastor who is ungrateful, who is saying that this church has an issue with leeches. No. That is not what I'm saying. You want to take it like that and leave? That's fine. I'm assuming you won't come back, at least not next week because I'm preaching again. If you're going to write an email, let me give you a tip. If you have notes you ever want to pass along, there is one rule that Boss Man has. If they don't sign their name on it and it's just an anonymous little note, we don't read them and we throw them away. So if you want it read, leave your name on it. Just letting you know. If you did want to do that. I joke about throwing stuff away, but really, we do read those things and we take them into account. So if you want to do that, just try to beat 6 pages. It's nothing to do with that perspective. What I'm telling you is this. The body of Christ is supposed to function a certain way. And for the health of the body and the health of the church and the health of the kingdom of God, this is not just New Life Sparta, no, I'm talking in general, whether you stay here forever or go to a church somewhere else someday, know what it is to make a place your home church, quit church shopping, you're silly, okay? Plug in at a home church, a full gospel-believing church, contribute while also being fed. Don't burn out. Don't run into a place and immediately jump in and I'm going to serve right now and then I'm going to serve everywhere I can. I give you 3 months before you try to find another church. I've seen it happen a million times. And then when people ask, you'll just say, well, they just used me too much. That's why we have an onboarding system for people that want to volunteer, because we want to protect you from that. Because there's one thing we always tell every single volunteer, your soul is more important than the ministry. So even if you want to serve, we want to make sure that you are in there on Sundays, participating in worship, contributing in this setting, because that's what you're here for. Yes, absolutely, but it is not the only thing you're here for. Contribute to the body of Christ according to his word. Quit just coming, fast food, all this different stuff, and I'm still going to wrap up before 11, so technically it could be considered fast food, but I mean, really, this is not just consumerism church. The way this church thrives and lives and grows is when we all do our part. do the work. Do the work according to his word. You could stand up with me all over this room. Is it hot in here? Is it just me? Okay. Yeah, probably. I thought about taking the layer off, and I was like, well, I was a little cold before. But then somewhere in that whole thing, I just kind of started sweating. I want God to bless this church. I want God to bless this community because I'm a part of this community of Sparta. And I don't know, I've been here long enough. I'm not as old as some of you, or as wise, we'll say that, as wise as some of you. But I've seen Sparta change and the community change and some things. And I got to be honest, I don't love the trend all the time. But the way the world changes is by the church being the church, being living and active. And the way that happens is when all the members of the body function as they should, do what they're called to do, not being jealous or envious of one another, Scripture tells us. So let us be the living church, serving one another. Yes, you're called to be a witness to the lost, but you're also called to love and care for one another in this room. And in fact, places of Scripture teach us that we are to take care of one another before we take care of an unbeliever. So let us enact that and be that and do that in our life, in this place.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.